Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, not Exodus 12. Matthew chapter 8, and reading verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 8, reading from verses 18 to 23. Then we're going to read some verses from Luke as well. First of all, Matthew 8, verses 18 to 23. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead." And then also from Luke chapter 9, and reading verses 57 to 62. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Dear people of God, I'm sure you have heard and read, perhaps, that most people in the USA claim to be Christians, which by definition is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we didn't want to simply trust what people say and wanted a perhaps a more accurate view of things, we might take church attendance. But there are a whole lot of people that attend church too. I'm not saying anything about types of churches, but a lot of people attend church and would make the same claim. But we need to understand exactly what people mean when they say they're Christians. Some even born-again Christians, some practicing Christians, all kinds of descriptions. But you can see from the passages this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ was one that didn't take expressions from people without emphasizing the seriousness of it, without challenging glib statements about following the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet there being no substance to it. And he warns people that make those kinds of statements. Generally, if we hear things that the Lord Jesus Christ heard with respect to, "Oh, I'll follow you," most people would be clapping their hands, jumping up and down, and marking off another person that they've attracted, as it were, to the church. But the Lord Jesus Christ is more interested in the validity of what they're saying and the commitment to what they're saying than simply those words that people spoke about wanting to follow him. I mean, generally, we have an inner kind of sense that quick decisions and decisions that we don't give much thought to bring us ruin in the long run. And that certainly we've experienced in the history of this nation with respect to finances. The housing bubble was all about that. People's being so confident, not taking into account the glaring inconsistencies that were before them, but just listening to people and signing forms here, there, and everywhere about purchasing houses, and they couldn't lose. But they did. Many did. Well, that's the case with our spiritual decisions too. And certainly as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, and as it were, we come to the Lord's Supper. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim that we are his, and we eagerly attend the means of grace. Well, in this context, there needs to be a seriousness that we need to consider. And as a church, we try to emphasize that, as we had the reading of the preparatory form last Sunday, just to remind ourselves, take thought about what you're doing. And it needs to be a serious act that you're going to engage in, a serious life that you are committing to with the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are not things that you ought to do quickly and without thought. There needs to be a seriousness about our Christian faith. It needs to consume every aspect of your life. It needs to be, to you, self-consciously, the controlling principle of your life. If you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it ought to mean. Not that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, not that you sometimes attend church, not that you have that you believe in God. It's much more deeper than that. And if that wasn't important, we would not have read the statements that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Obviously, to him, it was very important. It was crucial. And so he speaks in ways that, as Christians, we take a second look. He said, what? The guy wanted to follow him, and he said, what? The guy wanted to go and bury his father, and Jesus said that? I mean, how inconsiderate. And dividing a person from their family and saying that Christianity has to be first, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? So here in this passage, we read that as Jesus is walking along, and he's going to continue on his journey, that a man shouts out from the crowd and says, I will follow you wherever you go. I mean, I don't know how long the Lord Jesus Christ was in that place and how much this person heard about what the Lord Jesus Christ said. In fact, it's kind of strange, because we're told who this person was, not in terms of his name, but we are told that he was a scribe, a certain scribe. So here's someone that that is associated with a group of people, right? The scribes and the Sadducees, we read about them in the scriptures. So here's this person. He has a certain view, religious view. And so he's heard things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. And as I said, I don't know for how long. And as Jesus is about to leave, he said, I'm coming. Sign me up. I'm in your camp now. And you think, have you really thought through this decision that you're making? Have you given it any thought? Have you spoken to someone? No. He kind of blurts it out. He's ready. You know, if someone said to you, I want to marry you, you just say, all right, let's go and get married. What are you talking about? Right? What do you know about me? What do I know about you? You're willing to commit your whole life to me. Right? And you just come up with it like that? You haven't bothered to find out. We haven't bothered to talk with each other to any great length to know what kind of person you are, what you believe, and all of those things, and you're ready for this kind of decision? We won't take that seriously. Neither would we as parents if our children came home and said, I want to marry so-and-so. Only met them last week, or yet today. Which parent is going to say yes? That's fine. No. Absolutely not. Or a husband comes on and says, yeah, that's it, we're buying a house. Well, we didn't talk about it. If you look at our finances, no, we're buying a house. A commitment that you're making of mortgage payments for the next 20, 30 years maybe, and decision just like that? Well, what this guy was saying had much more significance than any of the things that I've mentioned. Any of the things that I do. And so Christianity isn't something for us to glibly say, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe those things. Really? Yeah. And so the Lord Jesus Christ responds in a very appropriate way to this impulsive statement by this man. He says, foxes have holes. Foxes have somewhere to go, even though it's just a hole in the ground, but they have somewhere to go. And the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, the one that you want to be with and the one that you want to follow, has nowhere to lay his head. Is that what you're signing up for? Is that what you agreed to? Are you committing yourself to that? He sends us out as sheep among wolves. That's what you stand for. That's what you're willing to undertake. We face persecution from this world. We're to go out into this dark world. We're to go into this decaying world and be light and salt. Is that what you envision? Is that what excites you? In fact, Jesus told a parable about people that make impulsive decisions, only to meet failure. The guy goes off to war, the king. Doesn't consider what he needs, doesn't consider the situation. That's it, we're going to fight, let's go. He loses good. Another guy, a builder, he's going to build this tower, takes on this project. Doesn't think how much he needs, what effort it's going to take. No, he starts. He gets halfway through. It's a failure. What he builds is a monument to his foolishness. That's not to say that people cannot seriously make statements that are true and valid. But the statements come with forethought. Statement comes with a conviction in their hearts that they are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we have many, of course, in the scripture, but we have a most wonderful one with respect to Ruth. I mean, she said the same kind of thing to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Don't tell me to stop. Don't tell me to go back home. I'm not going. I'm going to go with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. I'm not fooled by thinking that you're going to a mansion. I have no considerations of that. I know that you're not going to a mansion. I know the state that you're in. I know the trouble that you've seen. I know your husband has died. I know your sons have died. The husband of Ruth had died. I know all of these things. I know the darkness that has beset your life, it seems. I'm not saying I'm going to follow you because I think our fortunes are going to be great. But because I know you. And I know what you believe. I know the God that you worship. I'm well aware of that. I don't believe necessarily I'm looking at your faith as something that's going to give us a rosy life. Our husbands are dead. And I'm going to come with you. And your God is going to be mine. And your people are going to be mine. People of God, that's the commitment that we ought to make when we make that statement about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Is that what you mean? When you raise your hand and say, yes, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to come to the Lord's table, I want to be with Him, is this your commitment? That's what it ought to be. After all, the one that you claim to love and to follow, this morning we will celebrate the fact that he went all the way to the cross. He gave his life as a ransom. Is that the purpose of your life? To serve this Savior and to proclaim this message that we celebrate this morning? That's what it means. We don't want hasty decisions. We want serious decisions. Ones that come from the heart. Ones that affect every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes it even more. The centrality of our faith, the domination of it in every aspect of our life, when somebody says to him that he will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go and bury my father. This was not compulsive on the part of this person. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ called him to follow. But still there needs to be this commitment. Still there needs to be this understanding of what we are being called to. So though, just a reference back to the housing bubble, even though you perhaps heard people say, oh, you should buy a house. I mean, you're going to make a profit. I mean, it's a no-brainer. The people that were being spoken to had a responsibility to think about these things. Of course, in our day and age, it's never the victim's fault. It's the people with big pockets that are to be sued. But they had a responsibility to think about those things. So, though the Lord Jesus Christ said to this person, follow me, that person still has to think about what that means. Still has to think about the commitment that it involves. And so right off the beginning, he makes an objection. He has a problem with that. Now what Jesus is saying to this man isn't saying that if you become a Christian and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not really be involved in the concerns of this world. That you really shouldn't pay any attention to the needs of family or needs of parents. I mean, the Bible has so much to say with that respect. We are to love our parents. And we are to take care of them in their needs. In fact, it says we're worse than pagans if we see needs in our families and we turn a cold shoulder towards them and ignore it. And especially with the Pharisees, when they sheltered their money so that they would not have to help their parents, the Lord Jesus Christ condemned such acts. So let no one think and interpret these words of the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest this coldness that Jesus said, only love me, don't love anyone else. I mean, that's utter nonsense with respect to this. He's not saying that at all. Absolutely not. But he is saying that our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ has to be first and foremost. It can never take second place to anything in our life. It cannot. It has to be first and foremost. And so when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then we have our own ideas, and we want to bring them along, or we're not willing to subject them to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, or as Paul puts it, to bring every thought captive to Christ. Every goal, every ambition that we might have has to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are not willing to do that, then we cannot be His disciples. We cannot. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that calls the tune, not you, and not me. That's why it's so disconcerting and discouraging when people come to the church and they want to change the church. They want to come to the church, but they're not happy with the kind of Christianity. And so they say, look, the kind of Christianity I like is this and this and this. Well, this is not a negotiation. Not a negotiation. You don't get to pick and choose what Christianity is. No, the Lord Jesus Christ does that, thank you very much. He is the head of the church. He is the one that founded the church. And however clever you think you may be, and however much you may say that you want Christianity to be more acceptable in the public eye, and so if you could only change this, I would be happy with it. No, thank you very much. We're not about pleasing the world. We're about saving the world. And the gospel is fine as it is. And the Bible is fine as it is. It doesn't need any help or any modifications from you. That is what we believe. That is what we love. That is what we confess. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes on, of course, to make it abundantly clear when he warns that he that loves father or mother or wife or husband or children or houses or farms or businesses more than the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be his disciple. We can't. Notice how he puts it. We can't serve two masters, because that's what it comes down to. You either serve the Lord Jesus Christ or you serve somebody else. The devil, yourself, people, family, whatever it is. But there's no contest between the two. When you say you're a Christian, you're saying you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. So follow him. Don't listen to other people. we must be willing to follow him first and foremost. Whether it's our own pleasures, our own desires, or friends that we have, no, absolutely not. Even in marriage, this aspect is brought out, isn't it? We're to leave our parents. We're to leave our father and mother. We're to be joined to our wife. The two shall become one flesh. We're to say that in counseling. You may have had close friends or best friends and you hung around with and you spent a lot of time with, or you may have been so close to your family and you never did anything without your family. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. If you don't see the need for that to change when you're married. You can't be married to the family and to your wife. You can't be married to your best friends, buddies to do this, this, and this, and this, and still be married to your wife, and she be first in your life. Absolutely not. But that's just a picture, you see. That's just a picture of what our relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to the church, as Ephesians 5 tells us. It's allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and only the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship, of course, is brought out more particularly and singularly when somebody said, well, I'm going to follow you, but just let me go and say goodbye to my family. What? Are you going there to ask their permission? Is that what it is? You can have a family conference, and that's what it is. Because obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, again, is not saying that you ought never to have anything to do with your family. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. But this was not something to say, oh, I just need to, you know, tell them where I'm going. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. It showed that that family had a hold on that person. And Jesus is saying no. You don't have to go and ask someone else permission to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they're making the decision, really. No. No. Understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us is sufficient, more than sufficient, for us to lay our lives on the altar, to give ourselves and wholly give ourselves in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more do you need to understand and see than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we have manifested this morning? His laying down of his life for you. Surely. That should cause us to bow before him. That should cause us to let go of everything else and wholly give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a treasure beyond words. That's the way the Bible describes it. A merchant that finds his pearl of great price. And he goes and sells everything that he has. Well, shouldn't you go and talk to your family first? Shouldn't you figure out the financial details of this thing? No, no, no. What he could see with his eyes, what he could handle with his hand, he saw that this was the most important thing that there was. And everything else was worth trading for that. That's what Jesus is getting. So you're having second thoughts. You need somebody else's input. Well, then you haven't seen the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You haven't understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You haven't understood the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Because if you did, it's only his mission and ministry and the gospel that you need to understand. We don't wait for someone else. We don't say, oh, well, I can't. you know, I want to come, but I have to wait for so-and-so. I mean, did Pilgrim wait? Did Christian wait and say, you know, I have a family and I have children. I have to convince them yet because I don't want to leave them behind. Not that he didn't speak to them, mind you. But he didn't leave. He did leave his neighbor. He did leave his city. He did leave his wife. He did leave his children. Of course, that's not saying that we should divorce our wife and go on. I mean, that obviously is an allegory. But it is making this point that Christian committed himself to the Lord. That the Lord would take care of all of these things. But what was primary was this relationship with him. You know, we didn't go home when we became Christians many years ago and say, Mom and Dad, what do you think? You know what they would have said? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's what they would have said. But they tried to prevent it anyway. But they wouldn't. Or we went to our friends and said, what do you think? You know what? They said, you're crazy. Religion isn't for young people. You can do that when you get old. You need to enjoy yourself. That's what they would have said. No, it was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us to our knees before the Lord Jesus to say, my Lord and my God. Not to look through all the Bible first and say, well, let me see, do I agree with everything that is there? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. My Lord and my God. And there had not been one day of regret or second thoughts. Because the Lord Jesus Christ never, never disappoints us. People of God, it's not that we're not concerned about our family and friends. We are. But you will not help them one bit by waiting. You will help them a lot more by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be light to them. You will be salt to them. You will be able to point them away from the destruction of this world to eternal life. You mustn't wait. As I said, be careful. Because the devil is very subtle. And he will try and spoil and pollute this wonderful commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Pharisees were more than willing to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. So were the Jewish priests. They only demanded one thing. Be in line with what we think. Uphold the law. Lift the law up. And circumcision. And the Jewish nation. Don't talk about us having to be saved. They didn't follow. I mean, some did. All the Pharisees. But some didn't. Because they had already an agenda. You can't come with agendas to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that image that he gave in terms of the eye of a needle and a camel? And, I mean, that would be a trick, right? For a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Absolutely impossible. And definitely impossible when it's got weights and all kinds of things on it, attachments to it. It's big enough as it is. Your will is big enough to create havoc. Never mind other things. You can't bring anything with you. I don't care what it is. You may be an expert at this or an expert at that. It doesn't matter. You have to leave those things you have to subject all of those things to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our master. We are his followers. And so when we come to the Lord's table, that is what we are confessing. In me there is no good thing. I'm committing myself to the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of my life, for eternity in fact. Wherever he sends me, I'm going to go. Whatever he says, I will believe. Whatever he directs me, I'm going to do and believe. Even though it may be against what I personally think or I personally feel. There's only one room, one place with respect to the head of the church, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's taken all that. There's only one thing that we believe. God has already revealed that to us. It's God's word. That's done. That's sealed. Nothing is to be added to that at all. Now you can come under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ and shelter under them and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life and direction for your life in every aspect, in every part of your life. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and we respectfully echo, you're not ready to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have to decrease, and he has to increase, as he has in all of our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do humble ourselves before you. Not as a show for others to see, but as a reaction to what we see in our own hearts. The depravity, the darkness, the stubbornness, the rebellion. And our Father in heaven, we are so amazed that given that fact, yet you call us to have faith in you, promising to cleanse our hearts, promising to write your wonderful law upon our hearts rather than us try to write things into your word so that you can mold us into your wonderful image. Now, Father in heaven, we come humbly to your table this morning. And Lord, we pray that we might indeed come with that resolve to give our lives as living sacrifices for all that you have done. Father in heaven, we ask that you would hear our prayers and bless us through this sacrament. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing.